where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And today we have Kaya Shakti and Maya Medlitsa on the show, and we're talking about what the fuck is actually spiritual. It's such a great episode. We're talking about how a lot of spiritual leaders at the moment are rising up and calling bullshit on what we've been taught is spiritual, and, you know, calling bullshit on this love and light all of the time kind of stuff. Like, sometimes it's beautiful and light and blissful, and sometimes it's excruciating. And if we're avoiding one part of it, then we're not being whole and we're not accepting, and that is not spiritual either. So Kaya and Maya and I all spoke about, like, the truth of spirituality. These beautiful women are intuitive mentors. They are divine feminine code carriers and frequency holders. And you can really feel the energy that they bring onto this podcast. They are the founders and the creators of Irresistible Tribe, an online circle for women, where they hold a sacred, safe space for women to remember, embrace, and embody their divine feminine essence. They also share information and activations to empower, inspire, and support awakening on a personal and a collective level, reaching women and men. And the stuff that these two share, it's so powerful, and it really resonates all the time for me. So I hope that you enjoy listening to them and that you end up following them on Facebook, because they are incredible. We shared so much on this podcast, including a real powerful, potent, energetic transmission from Kaya and Maya that took me from a sore heart to feeling trusting, blissful, and open while we were recording. So I know that you're going to feel that as well, and I invite you to really receive that. We talked about how everything is spiritual, so we can all just relax a little. We talked about what spiritual bypassing is, how it's stopping us from being real, and how we can truly heal instead. We talked about why observing and honesty combined allow us to throw off the spiritual rules and the dogma and actually live in alignment with our unique spiritual essence. We talked about two words that will change your life. Fuck it. So powerful. We discussed how to release the conditioning of avoiding our feelings and actually allow ourselves to be with all of the truth of who we are. We talked about a simple mantra and practice that allows you to be self-compassionate and give up any attempts at fixing yourself. You are not broken. You do not need fixing. We also discussed the shadow in the mirroring principle, over responsibility and self-ownership, and loving really big. That is an eye-opener. And we discussed why you're not weak or too sensitive, but actually a powerful multi-dimensional being, and you deserve to be compassionate and understanding with yourself. This is truly a potent podcast full of energy and insights, and I know that you will enjoy it. So listen up.
Thank you both so much for being here. I'm so excited to be talking about this today, especially today, because all of the listeners know that I'm really raw with wherever I'm at when I record the podcast. And today my heart is so sore. And a while ago, if that was the case when I got on a podcast interview or did anything, I would think that I wasn't, like, spiritual enough or high vibration enough to be of, I don't know, like, a positive impact in the podcast. And now I know that however I show up is perfect. And when you and, like, when all of us started to talk about what we were going to discuss today, and we're talking about debunking what it means to be spiritual, I was like, Could this be any more perfect to be talking about today? And I'm so excited because you two have just hung out in the Bosnian pyramids and done like really woo-woo spiritual stuff, which we'll get to talk about as well. But you're telling us that you're like rock and roll spiritual people and actually think like, fuck that, who made the rules? So yes, let's talk about all ends of the spectrum of what it means to be spiritual. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. We're excited.
So I know from watching the two of you online that you are so connected to what is going on because you're on the other side of the world to me. And when I read something you write, I'm like, yes, yes, that is what is like happening right now. So can you tell us how you became these like ultra spiritual, as JPCers would call it, people? And then let's talk about your like divine journey first. And then let's talk about the human one as well.
Okay, one thing to say is that our journey together in this life began just about a year and a half ago. That's when we met, just a year and a half ago. So for me, I can say, I mean, I've always been like this. Ever since I can remember, I just felt this connection to something higher. And I actually had problems being in this world because I didn't understand how it works. And, you know, I was a kid. We are both from Slovenia. So, and both we are approximately the same age. And so we were growing up in ex-Yugoslavia, which was a socialist country. And nobody was talking really about this. I mean, there were, but, you know, you couldn't find information like now. So, yeah, I was growing up and, you know, I like for me, the natural thing was to communicate via energy. I was reading energy. I didn't realize what it meant, but I just felt like an alien. Like I don't belong here. I don't understand these people. Like I can't speak how I'm supposed to speak. And, you know, and it's been like my whole life has been actually accepting that I'm in my body and that I'm here and that it's okay to be here, like not wanting to go live somewhere, you know, up, away. That's my journey in short. But yeah, I've always had this connection. And for some time I was pushing it away, actually for a long time, but I could never completely push it away. I mean, I was always deciding from my intuition, from something that didn't seem rational. And, you know, I was seeing things that would happen and they happened. And I felt the energy. I was reading energy, but I never told anyone. So 2 years ago, I started speaking out about this, just writing the messages. I started the group Irresistible Tribe 2 years ago, a little bit more than 2 years ago, and that's when I started writing guidance. You know, and when I was writing it, I was like, oh my God, is this stupid? Like, will ever anyone believe, like, you know, it's just coming from somewhere. What will people think, that I'm crazy? But, you know, the more I did it, the more I opened up and the more this stream of connection, of information was opening up. So
amazing. And anyone who isn't already in the Irresistible Tribe Facebook group, I recommend that you go there because Maya and Kaya both share amazing stuff in that group. It feels so good to hear the exact words that you need on that day. So Irresistible Tribe Facebook group, check that out. I get so envious. We will come to your journey as well, Kaya. But I get so envious of people like you, Maya. I'm like, how did you get born so freaking awakened? Like, it's you didn't have to like run the script for a while first, realize all of the things that you didn't like first, and then become able to see energy. Like, how? Like, no, that is not fair. It is, of course, perfect. But yeah, I love that.
But you know what? for me, it was so difficult growing up. Mostly my whole life, I just felt I don't belong anywhere. I don't understand how people function. I can't do it the same way because I'm looking at the person. They're saying something to me and I can see that's not the truth. I can see what's the truth. That's one thing. And the other, you know, so of course, you know, I also had the programs that were running in my being and still I have for sure some. I had fears. I'm the same. I'm the same as everyone. I just have this thingy.
This thingy. I love that. And you know what? I think that's something really crucial that you just touched on. I reckon so many of us, like empaths or awakened people now, were when we were younger and we shut it down. And I'm working with one of my mentors right now, and I don't remember much since before I was 8. So I reckon I was back then super aware and sensitive, and then something happened and I was like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's too painful. Because you're right, I could see when everyone else was lying and playing these like false power games. And I was like, why are we all doing this? But okay, I guess I'll play along. Like, I didn't know why everyone was doing it. So yes, thank you for sharing your journey. I love that. Kaya, what about you? How did you become the amazing mystical being that you are now?
So for me, it also started very early with this awareness that I perceive world and people differently. Mm-hmm. So I also was reading the energy and everything. I was all the time trying to escape away because I really, really wanted to fit in, to be same as my, you know, people from surroundings. But yeah, it never worked for me. So luckily, my mom was kind of very early into these spiritual waters and trying to, you know, I got some informations from her, going with her on different kind of workshops when I was 13, 14. So, but I saw that it's not very clear, like for the people who were there. And so I didn't like this hugging because I didn't perceive it as genuine. And I was kind of starting to escape, like running away from all of this because it was kind of too much for me like then. But all the time I had this awareness within me that I'm different and that I shouldn't avoid it. But I did. I went like all around with, trying to, I was a rebel always in my heart, so, and I'm still, that's why it's like I rock and roll and wild dancing and road tripping and this kind of stuff. It's really in our hearts.
Yeah,
but then in a few years I just couldn't avoid it anymore because it was becoming loud and it was my journey, so I just needed to accept it and surrender to it, even though I had to step out of, you know, all your kind of old friends are going away. So in a way, you kind of, you're left alone. Trying to accept this and just go on and just follow your own guidance. For me, I was really struggling to really follow my guidance because I was always kind of wanted to follow in a way, but I was always brought back into my path and like shown, always show, follow your guidance.
Oh, such a journey for us all, isn't it? Like we can receive the guidance, but then actually following it is... Another story, yeah. I would love to know, Kaya, what did you do when you were in your rebellious, I'm not even going to be spiritual stage? Like, what were some of the things that you got up to? Oh, look, if you're not watching the video, she's looking away. I do, because other people are listening and feeling like they've done the same sort of stuff. I'd love to know some of them. Like, let's just be like, imagine we are at a sleepover right now, women, and we are like, yeah, I've done this. Like, I like snuck out, I've done drugs, not a lot, like just marijuana really and some plant medicine, but you know, I've done stuff that would be considered unspiritual. I'd love to know what you guys have done.
Yeah, I've done it all.
Yes, all. Best sleepover talk.
Yeah, I mean, I had to try it all, to just party hard and like everything. But with all the time with this, I had this one boundary where I knew that I will not cross it. So I actually think I really needed all this experience in order to see in people and understand it now, so people can relate also to me. Because someone who didn't experience this kind of stuff, no way that I could support people who went through hell regarding drugs or anything else. So for me, it was really gift. I was never like addicted or something, but just tasting, you know, a little bit of this and that, just to know it. I don't know. I was guided like that.
And yeah. This is such a perfect segue into everything is spiritual and there are no rules to spiritual, because you're saying that that was a part of your spiritual journey to do drugs and like completely disregard almost your spiritual and soul self in that time. And that was a part of your spiritual journey. So let's like get into, I reckon it could almost become a bit of a rant in this part, because it's like so, we're so passionate about it. Let's get into that. What do you two consider to be spiritual and not spiritual? Yes.
You know what? I actually don't really think about ever what's spiritual and what's not spiritual. I would say, what if somebody would ask me what to avoid, that's what I would say, hurting yourself and others, you know, on purpose. But then again, you know, what does it mean to hurt somebody? Maybe I don't think I'm hurting you by saying something to you, but you are hurt. That's one thing. And even if somebody hurts somebody else on purpose, you know, they have a soul contract that's needed for growth. I was hurt in my life a lot, and I'm grateful for it. So, I don't know. Yeah, like I would say, I don't know if it's correct to say this is spiritual and this is not spiritual, but for me, okay, the line is hurting living other living beings, animals, people, hurting on purpose. No, that's no. But you know, other than that, I don't know. Like I wrote in the post yesterday, smoke, you know, eat whatever. Like I don't eat animals, but I don't try to persuade anyone not to eat animals. Because you need to feel this in your heart. There's no point in forcing anything, because then you are hurting yourself if you are forcing. So yeah, you know, we are a soul in a human body having a human experience. I don't know how to answer this, what's spiritual and what's not.
That's like the perfect answer. I mean, not that there was a wrong answer. this could go on forever, but it's so true that there's like such blurred boundaries around it. And I think it's because everything really is spiritual. Like even if you hurt another, you're right that there's like some kind of soul agreement around that, and that you almost could have done them a disservice not to hurt them. There's like such beautiful, intricate ways of looking at everything. And that's what I am like so passionate about talking about at the moment, is that there really is nothing that we can do that will make us any less loved by the divine or any less perfect as the divine beings that we are. And I think that we can get caught up in things like spiritual bypassing is a huge one. Spiritual bypassing is the idea that you try to like pretend that you're over the messy parts of human life so that you can be spiritual. That's my definition at this point. And so it looks like you skip straight to forgiveness and compassion for another, but you over, like, you just completely ignore the fact that you need to forgive and be compassionate to yourself first, and like feel whatever you're feeling, and then you're just like, oh no, I shouldn't feel that, and I'm gonna forgive this other person. Like things like that, I feel like we're hurting ourselves with. We're like so sensitive about not hurting other people, but we are hurting ourselves, which everything is connected, so we're hurting other people in doing that. Kaya, what is your experience with this idea of like spiritual bypassing or having rules around spirituality?
Yeah, as I said before, I was really trying to fit in also in the spiritual world. So I was always perceiving things a bit differently, and I didn't like this, oh, this is spiritual and this is not spiritual. I was like, okay, you just have to be real and authentic.
Yeah.
So you know, how can I behave, like take something, if I like it, then it's spiritual. I'm a spiritual person, I mean, being. How can it not be this spiritual if I feel that it's right for me? So I was like also rebellious in this way, but it was always like in the back of my mind, this, you know, we have these little doubts who are like testing you, actually. Will you really follow your guidance and stay on your path, or will you follow something else? So yeah, I was always kind of bringing myself back into this my center and my to follow really what I get, my intuition.
Yeah. And how did you do that?
Just with observing. Be really conscious all the time and observing what's going on in my world, and to be really honest about it. Like, honesty for me is the highest state you can be towards yourself first and then towards others.
Yeah.
Really more honesty. If you can do this with yourself, then you're safe.
Yeah. Because that's the whole spiritual bypassing thing, isn't it? That you're not, like, you kind of like just overrule yourself and go to whatever you think out here is the expectation of you. But if you can be really honest with yourself and say, actually, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready for full total love and acceptance in this moment. And I need to be honest with myself right now about where I'm at. That is so important. Like, I had someone message me just yesterday and say, I just feel like I want to curl up in a ball and I feel like it's not going to be helpful. And like, what do you recommend I do? And I was like, curl up in a ball, curl up in a ball until you don't want to curl up in a ball anymore. Like, it will stop that pain. Nothing is constant. Everything changes. That pain that we're like terrified of and running away from, that changes too. And at some point when you sit with it, it shifts. Yeah. But oh, okay, I want to go back to, you said you used to want to fit in with everything and follow what everyone else was doing, and then you did that in the spiritual world. And so I wanted to control the whole world and like make my external world really safe before I was spiritual. And so then when I was spiritual, I was like, manifestation, I can control my whole world and beat myself up as a perfectionist trying to be high vibe all the time. And so I used spirituality as the tool to do the same, like, unhealthy, I think at least, or unhelpful patterns that I had before I was spiritual. Maya, have you had a similar experience? Have you done, like, used spirituality as a tool beforehand?
No.
Okay, good.
I was, you know, I also felt myself as a rebel, but not so much in the way of just going in somebody else's face, but I was just like, you want me to be like this? Fuck you. No, I'm like I am. I didn't follow anything. I had no teacher. I was not going to any workshops. I was not reading books. Yeah. I didn't do any of it. Within myself, I felt like I don't belong, and I did want to belong, but I didn't really do things to fit in, actually. Mm. Yeah, so I never had many friends. I had like two or three very good friends, but not many, because I don't know, I was rejecting the world. and the expectations, you know, that I felt all the time. I felt expectations everywhere.
Amazing. And when you spoke, I felt the audience, I always feel them sitting to my right here, I felt them go oh and just relax, and they were like, all right, that, like, no, fuck you, I'm not going to be anyone other than who I am is such medicine for this world. And I felt that medicine being injected into everyone who is listening right now. What is your advice, both of you, on how to just say fuck it and not follow the rules?
I can start. So this, once I said this, I don't know if I wrote it, that fuck it is an amazing mantra to use.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah.
We use it all the time.
All the time. Because especially recently. It's just so powerful, you know, the actual meaning that it has, it's really powerful. I mean, if somebody tells you, fuck you, you're like, what? You know, so we use it. You know, just when something comes, I don't know, some worry or what will people think if I write this, but this message is so strong, it came through, but it's unusual, it's different. Just with the whole body, fuck it.
just release everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the way it goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most spiritual mantra ever, fuck it. I love this. Do you know, some of my most liberated days when I was, before I kind of had stepped out of this paradigm of feeling like something was spiritual and wasn't spiritual, and I'm still doing that, like I'm still noticing where I'm believing there are rules and breaking them down. But when I was first starting, my most liberating days were where I was just singing this song, like, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. No, like, I just sing it all day. And I was like, oh, you want to say that? I don't give a fuck. Like, it's just so, like, free. It is so free. And I think that for me, if spirituality has, like, any, if there's any desire in it now for me, it's not to control the world. It's just to be free of anything that I think is not spiritual, to be like fully liberated. And maybe at some point I'll look at that and be like, oh, that was like a belief. And one of my mentors says any belief is like a step away from what is true, because we kind of can't package it in. But to me right now, freedom is the thing that is like my highest value in all of this. Yes, so fuck it. Amazing.
To be really you.
Yeah.
This month. When you say it, it gives you permission to express yourself fully and to really be you.
Yeah.
Regardless of what others think of you, which I think is like one of the biggest factors that stops us from being who we really are. Yeah. So, I mean, you two have had quite an amazing mystical upbringing, but for others and your clients that you're working with, how do you guide them to just not give a fuck what other people think?
Okay, so first I want to say something which is calling me to say it, and I think it's connected to your question. So many times I get a question, but so, okay, high vibes, low vibes. If I feel bad, if I feel sad, if I feel angry, is that like bad? Is that low vibe? Do I need to like get out of it, persuade myself that actually everything is good? What's with that, you know? Also, is that not spiritual? Just feeling sad, bad, lonely, desperate, whatever, angry. And I always say, first of all, just see, just observe. Like I said, observe yourself. Do you see sadness and anger? It's there. It's there, so no point avoiding it. Just welcome it, look at it, feel it. Just let it, hold it, let it be there, because it's there, right?
With a reason.
Yeah, with a reason, it's showing you something. So just look at that, what's disturbing you. Mm. Hold it, and then as you hold it, as you look at it, you are already transmuting it. That's the growth. You transmute, you don't say, no, I don't feel sad. Yes, I feel sad, and it's okay. And then you feel the sadness, and some messages will come. I'm getting goosebumps. And some messages will come out. Then the sadness will dissipate because you allow it to be. Mm-hmm. That's alchemy. That's transmutation. That's how you get to the high vibe. It will happen naturally. Just no pushing, no this idea, I have to be thinking positively, I have to this, I have to that. No.
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Just follow your heart.
Yeah. You don't have to do anything. I just wanted to repeat that so everyone really gets that. There is nothing that you have to do or be to be good or loved by God. There is nothing. Yes. Mm. And for that that sitting with your emotions, I think especially if we've like been in personal and spiritual development, there are so many tools that we are given and so many tools that we collect along the way. And so I know sometimes I like go to a tool and it works and then I move on, like maybe tapping, it helps me to see it as I'm clearing it, you know. And then there are other times where I use my tools and I think it's like the energy that you do anything in is more important than what you're doing. But there are other times where I use my tools of trying to avoid feeling what I'm feeling. And that's when I'm like, I get through like three or four different tools and I'm like, shit, I'm just going to be here in this. And that is not helpful right now, but it is perfect. So what do you recommend in terms of getting over that conditioning to pretend that we don't feel bad, or bad with like inverted commas, to pretend that we don't feel a certain way? It's so conditioned in us. How do we just sit with it? Like you say, just be with it and watch it, but how do you actually do that if you've never done it before?
So how I started was just also, there's another mantra which is very, very simple, but it's okay. It's okay. Everything is okay. And this is such a huge release of everything. Just like, and then you come back into your space and you can feel yourself again, where you are and what arises. And it's okay. And then you give yourself permission just to be as you are. And that's your mission. That's your purpose.
Yeah.
Just to be who you are, because you already carry everything within. You just need to remember. And that's it. Things are very, very simple, but our mind wanting to be spiritual and stuff complicates everything. But it's very, very simple.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel just a very practical thing to do is just to stop and just focus on your breath. Just slow down the breath, because the breath, you know, it, when you slow down the breath, you give a message to your nervous system, to your whole body, to slow down. Just breathe slowly and say this: it's okay, I'm okay, yeah. All is well.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah, this is something I use, like, in, you know, these situations when you are hit with something suddenly, and you're like, oh, what? No, fear. Just back into the center. And for women, what I used was to go into my power, so to focus on my womb space, because that's where the female power lies. So I would just stop, like when I would feel, for example, that I am giving my power away, or I'm not stepping into it, you know, in a situation, whatever it is, I stop, put my palms on my womb space, close my eyes, breathe slowly, and really focus on the womb space. I'm here. It's okay. Yeah. And just practice that. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, this is such a powerful transmission I can feel of, like, self-acceptance so much. Kaya, particularly when you said it's okay, I had like tears come into my eyes, and I was like, oh my gosh, am I gonna cry on the podcast? This is just exactly what I needed to hear, and I can feel the impact on the audience. Like, everyone who is listening, I invite you to just like breathe in this self-acceptance that is coming from these two amazing women. Because it's such a powerful transmission. Like, everything that we say, these words are really great, but this energy that is coming through is magical. Thank you both for that. I just kind of want to like sit in it a little longer, but it's so beautiful. Thank you. What are some of the things that you see people beat themselves up with the most in terms of spiritual rules? So let me start to give you an example. One thing that I've seen a lot is the mirroring principle, and how much people can then not trust their own intuition or not trust their own boundaries enforce their boundaries, because they take everything as like, how can I learn from this? And that's a really great approach, but almost like too much self-ownership in that, and like self-blame in the mirroring principle. It's one that I've seen a lot. What have you seen a lot in these like spiritual rules where there are not meant to be any rules? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, as you said, trusting, really trusting yourself. Your body always tells you where are your boundaries and how to respect it. So really trusting in your own guidance.
And in a spiritual world where there is so much like, oh, well, this is just a reflection of myself, and almost using that to belittle how you feel in that moment, what do you recommend for people who are maybe over analyzing the projection and reflection part of it?
Just stop on analyzing. Yeah. No, that's all a mind thing. Just go, release it, go back into your heart and stop analyzing. You don't have to figure out everything and understand everything.
Yeah, observe. Let it sit there. The answer will come. You know, the most important and deepest and simplest realizations don't come from the mind.
Mm.
There's a higher intelligence within us that transcends the mind by... So, just observing, for me, it's really observing and not trying to understand everything. Yeah, you don't need to figure out everything.
Not at all. Yeah. Because this is not the way to come to your inner truth.
Yeah.
Never with your mind, always with your heart. Mm. So you have to kind of bypass your mind. Mm. Because your mind wants you in your safe space, trying to understand and figure out everything. Yeah. But it's a thinking thing. It's not a feeling thing.
Yeah.
And whenever I drop into my heart always knows if it's my own projection and like it's me just making up stories, or if actually I need to enforce a new boundary or to learn like a different lesson there. So if we just trusted ourselves, we would like and that deeper inner knowing, then we would know what is a projection, what is not a projection, but we wouldn't need to intellectualize it either. We would just like the energy would just flow and we would feel all of that as well. What were you going to say just before, Maya?
Another confusion that I noticed in the, you know, spiritual world or whatever you want to call it, is this about love. You know how you read posts, and I also write it in the end many times. I write, I love you. You know, mm-hmm. I love all of you. And so I had many talks with people when they wouldn't, when they, like they told me, I don't understand. So I love this person who is hurting me. So what do I do? Do I need to accept whatever this person is doing and stay with the person? I love them, but they are hurting me, but they are, you know, I want to see the good in everyone because everyone is good. We are all souls and so on and so forth, you know? Mm. And I had this experience and I can say, you can love somebody even if you're not with them. You know, like you had your path with that person because it was meant for you to learn certain things, and then when you come to a point and you are like, okay, I now feel this is over, but I still love this person. You don't need to be with the person and you can still love them. You know, there's this conception, especially about relationships, that when you go your separate ways, you can't love each other anymore. That it's blocking you in some way, that you can't meet somebody else, blah, blah, blah. No, your love is infinite. You can love everyone. And you can love somebody for who they are, but you don't need to be with them because they are not good for you in that moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah. And I feel as though I've seen so many of my friends, and I've probably done it myself actually, where they talk about being in a relationship. Yes, actually I have definitely done this. And they look at the other person in the relationship and they're like, they see behaviors that don't actually fit with their life and they don't want to continue having these like interactions in their relationship, but they keep going, okay, well, if I'm seeing this, then there must be something in this for me to learn, and I just need to keep like outgrowing the trigger or whatever it is. And like, what if the thing that you need to learn is to just love yourself enough to leave this situation? Yeah. Thank you for bringing that one up. I love that. And we have to finish soon, but we're going to go to a secret episode, so there will be more of Kaya and Maya. Isn't that so poetic? But I want to ask, one of the things that your posts, Maya, have done the most for me is allow me to feel however I'm feeling in the moment. But like, I noticed that you talk like, it's okay, just breathe through this. This is an energetic upgrade. And I like can sometimes feel that I'm processing stuff on a much larger scale. And then my mind comes in and is like, oh, you're just weak. That's like the talk that my mind gives me. You're just weak. Like you constantly feel shit like this. Like I reckon about every 3 days, I'm like, whoa, what is happening here? And I think that there are probably others doing the same thing. but you do such an incredible job of knowing that you are a light being way beyond this like human reality, and that so much more is happening in our multi-dimensional selves, and we need to be gentle and compassionate with that. So can you talk to the people who are feeling that like egoic pressure to not be weak, and that also are really processing on such a greater scale as well?
Yeah, so one thing here is this notion that we have in the Western world, you know, that we need to suck it up, like it's suffering is normal, like you need to try really hard and it's difficult to do things. And actually the natural thing is ease. I mean, you know, just don't push against things. If you feel like that, just allow yourself to feel like that. Are you tired? Rest. It won't help if you push yourself. You can't, like you, it doesn't work. At some point it will come out, you know, the yeah. And that's absolutely true. We are multidimensional beings, and many of us, especially light workers, empaths, we do process for the collective. We do feel the collective. So that's also goes to the analyzing. Sometimes you suddenly feel sadness or you feel fear for about money, and you're thinking, but why, how? I mean, I'm feeling this, but where does this come from? Many times it's you're picking up on the collective. So just don't analyze it, just observe, because as you practice this observation, then you learn slowly what's yours, what's not yours. And when you see something that's not yours, you are okay with it. I mean, you feel it still, it's uncomfortable, but you know it's not yours. You know you're processing for others. That's what we do. That's our service in this world. We have chosen this. It's our soul contract. We better accept it that it's like this. Something I find very useful to support this process is meditation. Or, you know, but let me explain what's meditation. I always say meditate, like just forget about what you think what meditation is. When I talk about meditation, I mean a daily practice where you go into a quiet space where nobody disturbs you, and you take some time and space for yourself to recenter. Because when you are centered, when you are in the center of your being, then you can feel what's yours, what's not yours. And you can carry, you know, whatever you are meant to carry for the collective. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you. Also, one thing that came to me now, maybe we can just change I'm weak with I'm sensitive and open.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a completely different, and it is actually.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that our openness and our sensitivity is such a gift as well. And I would not choose anything different. Like I would, like last night I was walking with this woman that I met just last night, and I could feel her fear rise up as we walked onto this street that she didn't know. And like I thought, we're safe, of course we're safe. But I could feel her fear so much that I really honored where she was at. And it was like taking over my whole body. That's how big her fear was. And that sensitivity to make sure that I was able to be with her where she was at right there and then, like that is a gift beyond any kind of numbing or, you know, like just keep going strength that we have in the Western world. So. Yeah, amazing. One last thing though, we really need to go, but one last thing is, how do you then balance that with making sure that you're not in, like, you're not keeping yourself inside of your upper limit, that you're not actually self-sabotaging by feeling tired or whatever you're feeling in that day?
It's radical self-care that we practice now, both of us.
Just honoring what comes.
Yeah. So if I need to sleep in the middle of the day, I will go sleep. If I feel, you know, I've been experiencing this now, because we are now in Slovenia since May or April, and I haven't lived here for 5 years. So I come here and people want to meet. And of course, I'm happy, you know, that friends want to meet with me, but I need to preserve my energy. So I can't meet with so many people. And I feel I'm disappointing them, but I have to honor my space, my purpose, my soul work. And I just, you know, I'm just not as social, because I need quiet. I need to sit out under a tree, or I need to sleep, you know? Yeah.
Thank you. Kaya, do you have anything to add, or if not, we'll go to the secret episode.
I'm still learning to honor this process. Because it is challenging for me to go to sleep during the day, because I was always this working business, this and that, and it's still something that I'm adjusting to, but allowing myself to really feel what comes and to take rest if it's needed.
I am so up for a nap in the middle of the day, and I will even cancel a session if I have to like honor that they need me at a different time. And if I'm feeling that tired right now, then there is a reason that we will have a session at a different time. But then I'm really aware also of my upper limit self-sabotage like symptom of being, I'm tired and I'm overwhelmed. And so I'm like, are you tired, or are you like sabotaging yourself because everything is getting so good? And I do feel that we can use the same wisdom from the rest of the podcast, in that if you just be in your heart and in your center, you will know the difference. Yeah. Thank you both so much for sharing such an incredible transmission of just like peace and love, like not like love and mung beans and hippie love, but just like love, real love and wisdom. Thank you. How do people come and find out more about the work that you do?
Yeah, so in principle, on our website, which we are
struggling with.
We are rebuilding, but it's irresistibletribe.com. So there they can find our contacts, but it needs to be redone completely. And otherwise, of course, in our Facebook group, Irresistible Tribe, and on our Facebook profiles, because we have public Facebook profiles and we share a lot there. And that's it. And I want to say this. Yeah, so thank you for having us. And I'm noticing, you know, like you were talking about the power of this transmission, and I'm noticing like I'm red, and that always happens when there is like really high vibe energy and strong transmission. So
and I'm all dizzy like
I feel almost like it's been a healing in podcast form for me, and I'm sure for everyone who is listening. So thank you so much. Another incredible episode. Those two women are such potent beings, and I feel so blessed that I got to share them with you. If you would like to continue this conversation, to come and join other incredibly potent beings and hang out and have cool conversations like this, you can come and join us in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrising, or just type Lightworkers Rising into the search bar. We have such a supportive, incredibly connected tribe in there, and I would love for you to come and be a part of it as well. Now, if you enjoyed this podcast and you got something out of it, then chances are some people in your life might enjoy it and get something out of it as well. Maybe they really need to hear that just being is okay, and that they don't need to fix anything, that they're not broken. So I would love for you to hit share. You truly could make a difference to someone that you loves life just by
sharing this episode. So please do if it calls to you. And lastly, I want to let you know that we did not stop rolling here. We went over and recorded a secret episode with Kaya and Maya, and we talked about their morning routines, the rituals they end their day with, why the two of them make it a spiritual practice to gaze at the sunset each day, the rituals they use throughout the day to stay grounded and centered, the book that transformed both of their lives, how they sit with fear when it comes up, their favorite meditation practice to come back to full presence, the best piece of advice they have received ever, and the words of wisdom that they want to share with the world if there was only like one last thing that they could say. And trust me, this alone is worth listening for over and over and over again. And because of that, I've even taken the time. Okay, I got my assistant to take the time. Kath is amazing and I'm so grateful for her doing this. But she has taken the time to cut out that little piece and record it as an audio file and put it down below so you can just click a button and download it, save it to your phone and listen to these last few minutes over and over and over again. It's such a powerful reminder. So head over to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret, and there you can get access to Maya and Kaya's secret episode and all the others as well. I am so blessed that I get to do this with you each week. Thank you so much for the honor it is to share this time with you, and I look forward to chatting with you next week. Bye for now.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.